From the sports betting capital of the world, Las Vegas, it's time for the show you can't afford to miss. The number one weekly football preview, Wanna Bet. Get ready for valuable information, analysis, winning picks, and betting strategies. Your hosts, SEC Gridiron Guru Kip Kiefer, and award-winning betting expert, writer, and sports editor for the Las Vegas Sun, Case Kiefer. Let's go. Here's everything you need to win big. Wanna Bet.
Welcome to Las Vegas, everybody. Kip Kiefer, Case Kiefer with you for another edition of Wanna Bet right off the Vegas Strip at the fabulous TI Treasure Island Resort. We are in the Golden Circle Race and Sportsbook, a place you definitely need to check out next time that you're out this way. Case, we've been having a lot of fun talking about different aspects of the new football season. We're still in the early stages, but last week we spent a lot of time talking about the definition and just the actuality of what a betting line is. I want to get into more of your kind of routine with lines. I imagine for being a kind of a serious sports, you know, analyst and better, you write a column every week, you cover every single college game. We'll get into that a little bit later in the series here. But I want to talk about your process every week. It's kind of a de facto, a little bit of a Christmas morning every week. When do you start that process of looking at those new sets of lines for both college and pro football? And you know, just kind of walk us through your process.
Yeah, I think that's such an important thing. A lot of sports betting content is just picks, 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 because that's what people want, but that's really not going to sustain over the long term. I think, you know, to be a winning bettor, you need to have that process down pat. Find what works for you. Find a way to quantify your opinion to make it work. And I think on past episodes, I've said the same thing, so I might be like a broken record, but I think the biggest way that you can improve your betting performance is if, you know, you realize you have an edge, you realize you do some things hard, you want to bet early. So I think there really can be almost no off time. You want to be betting into these lines as soon as you can, where you find differences on what you believe and what they believe. So for me, it never really ends. I try to do things as early as possible. I cover the NFL, so it's kind of hard on Sundays. The college football lines come out on Sundays usually. It's hard for me to bet right into them during an NFL game, and sometimes I'm on the road. So usually it's not on Sunday for me, but usually the very next morning, on Monday morning, I'm diving into hopefully every single college football game. I'm trying to look back at what happened last week of the games I didn't catch or didn't get to look at the box score. I'm kind of surveying the market, see where the early moves have come at the sharper sports books, who's been bet on, and kind of trying to formulate those opinions. So I go through every single college game on Monday. I have a pretty good handle. I'd say at this point, 80 or 90% of my action is done by Monday. There is some stuff I'm still monitoring. In the NFL, it's a lot the same way. The NFL, I actually do try to start Sunday. A lot of times it's late at night after the NFL games. I have a really good handle, though, on the NFL. Of course, it's fewer teams. So I try to set my own numbers by the end of the NFL games that week. And I'm trying to bet in as close to the NFL openers as possible. You know, there's different ways. There's a lot of different ways you can do things. But to me, and I think for recreational gamblers, the best thing to do is just try to attack at these early. That's where you're going to find the softer lines. That's where you're going to find the better values. For me, you know, I always did it a little early, but over the years, as sports betting has become bigger, as more money's come in, I think it's just gone earlier and earlier. And for me, by now, the vast majority of my football action is in by Monday night.
Here's a chicken or egg question. You mentioned that you formulate a number on the games. Do you do that first before you look at the lines, or the other way around?
Well, it depends. Early in the season, I think for sure, you know, I have more. There's more way to quantify exactly and have time to, you know, put that into a number and move it. It's kind of an inexact science once we get later in the year. You know, it's hard to run everything, update all the numbers, especially in college football, 130 teams.
Wow.
I think by then, you know, you have a little more handle on where teams are. You know, you try to get injury updates. So, you know, I'm not a guy that's a computer whiz. I don't have my own model. You know, the guys that are betting at the highest level have their own models where they're inputting stuff constantly, you know, that's spitting out a number. I'm still kind of feel like I'm in between the old school and the new school. You know, I'm very analytical. There's a lot of power ratings that I do use. But, you know, at the end of the day, it does kind of come down to putting my own number on it, to trying to put all that information together. And a lot of times, I think the value of betting early and kind of having an idea of where your numbers are going to be is more beneficial than waiting later in the week where I can get an exact number and a lot of the value is already going to be flushed out of the market.
Well, we're going to take a quick detour here because Case mentioned he's on the road a lot. Real quick, this is real insider information. Who's got the best spread in the press box for the media?
Well, I haven't been to every NFL stadium, but I got to say, so far, and I've heard this it's Jerry World down at the Cowboys Stadium. I did go. The Raiders did have the Thanksgiving game there last year, so I got a little spoiled with that, but I've heard they spared no expense. And let me tell you, there are a lot of other teams in the NFL, not naming any names, that do spare expenses. So Dallas, certainly not. That would be probably the number one.
See, we give you the real good stuff here. That's a question I've been dying to ask. So back to the betting line process. So, you know, you mentioned – so it may be as early as even Monday that you might make your first bet of the week?
Oh, yeah. For NFL, I'm usually a bet. I'd say it depends on the week, but it'd be very rare that I haven't bet at least one game by Sunday night if I'm in town. Usually even three or four. You know, I just see some lines that are off. They're really exploitable early in the week because, you know, as the week goes on, most of these sports books are going to come together and have about the same numbers. You're only going to see very little differences. You know, early in the week when they've taken different money, you're going to see some different. In college football, I'm basically done by Monday. I think it's really important. Like I said, you want to bet into the numbers before all these opinions of people that have a lot more resources than you do. I'm thinking most people watching this are probably more recreational. I want to beat that money, and I want to try to get in my own positions before, you know, they have a chance to kind of shape the market in their image, so to speak.
So what you're basically talking about is kind of shopping the numbers that a large group of different providers are offering. What's the vehicle to do that? Where do you go to access a list of all the different lines?
Yeah, for sure. There's a lot of odd screens online. I mean, you can just Google around and find them. I don't necessarily, you know, one of the old famous ones was Vegas Insider. There's a good one now at Wager Talk. I will say, as an aside, I am totally opposed to pick selling. A lot of these sites with the good odd screens have pick selling. My number one advice to anyone is never buy any picks. Try to do the work yourself. It just makes the juice so much better. But that being said, some of these services do have great free odd screens. You can look at where the odds are. And there are subscription services that are worth taking. Where you can see the odd screens that update in real time. I think it's really important to be able to see where the market's moving, you know, some of the bigger sports books. So Google around, you can find an odd screen. And really, if you're just getting started in this, I'd say one of the most important things to do, even beyond knowing the team, is understanding the market, understanding the technical aspects of when lines move, why they move. And you can really kind of figure that out just by looking at the odd screen, you know, for a week or so and see how that works.
It's really fascinating. Do you remember a circumstance maybe from last season? Give us an example of a line that you would consider way off.
Yeah, that's a tough one. You know, on a game-to-game, it's just so hard to have, you know, once. I will say, this goes back to futures, which we already talked about in at the beginning of the season, but I know I went on your own show, your radio show. I said Georgia 10-1 to win the national championship was ridiculous about a month before the season.
Yep.
That went down to, I think, 5 or 6 by the beginning of the year, but it just shows you the earlier you bet, there are going to be some discrepancies, some value you can find. Obviously, I cashed a nice ticket with the Bulldogs there.
Fascinating stuff. We'll find out who Case likes coming up next. Stay with us on Wanna Bet.
Hey, it's Case Kiefer back again for my best bets on this week's Wanna Bet. And for the first time in show history, I'm having to bounce back from a losing week. It wasn't my finest hour in NFL Week 2 / College Football Week 3. But hey, we started Week 0, of course, and it's been 3 out of 4 winning weeks. If we can do that all year or for the rest of time, then we're going to be quite okay. You got to deal with the ups and downs, and I plan to do that this week. Not going to get too cute. I'm going to go with sides I really like. I think last week I went with some leans, some things I didn't even play in the column just to talk about some different games. And you always got to be self-evaluating. So I'm going to try to be better this week, give you some of my best positions. And this week it is kind of tricky. It's making me pause for a second. I like a whole lot of favorites in college football, and I like a whole lot of underdogs in the NFL. That ultimately means nothing. It's not correlated or anything, but it always gives you a little bit of pause when you see yourself lining up on the same types of numbers. So I'm going to stick to 3 favorites in college football, 3 underdogs in the NFL. Let's get to it. And I'm going to start in college football with Louisville minus 14 hosting South Florida, a vintage Big East game, if you will. I love those late 2000s when there's no real established powerhouse in college football, and both these teams for a couple years were legitimate national title contenders, top 5 teams. This year's version, not anything close to that for either side. They've both had their struggles early in the year, but I think Louisville has the much more talented roster overall. I think they're a lot more explosive, and I think this is a really good spot for them. Had an extra day to prepare coming off a Friday night game with Florida State, where they really were playing well, and a quarterback injury to Florida State's Jordan Travis, I think, threw everything out for them. They had saw a different type of quarterback they weren't prepared for, didn't game plan for. Ultimately lost a close game just by four. I like them against South Florida, who, of course, nearly knocked off Florida last week. I think that was a game they probably put a lot into that meant a lot to them. They played about their best there. I don't think they were looking ahead to Louisville at all. They probably spent much time on the Cardinals until the Cardinals were already deep in work on them. I think, in theory, Louisville's offense could be more explosive than Florida's. They have some more experience than Florida. Malik Cunningham is actually kind of similar to Anthony Richardson, but Louisville is a team I came into the year high on, and so far it's backfired, but I'm going to give them one more chance here, laying 14, hosting South Florida. We'll go from the East Coast to the West Coast. I like Oregon right now, laying 6.5 at Washington State. I was a big fan of the Cougars coming into the year. I have a win total over ticket on them, but I think the market has really caught up now after they went to Wisconsin and won. That was a game they probably didn't deserve to win, but you know, that they got some breaks and were able to eke out a three-point win. I think Oregon, even more so than Wisconsin, is just going to kind of bully them up front. I know that's hard to believe if you saw the Oregon-Georgia game and how poorly they looked there, but the Ducks have really bounced back. I thought last week's blowout win over BYU was one of the most impressive in the country. I think they're right there in the Pac-12. Pac-12 did away with divisions this year, but in the North, they're still playing the same schedule. So the old North, I think Oregon and Washington are the two best teams. I actually, bonus, I didn't expect to talk about this, but I bet Washington 12-1 this week to win the Pac-12. I think that's since gone to 10-1. But if you can find at least 10-1, I like Washington a little bit. I think USC deserves to be the favorite, but maybe we see a USC-Washington title game. But so that Washington-Oregon one will be one to match. But in the meantime, yeah, I just think Oregon is better up front, and I think they'll gobble up Washington State. Anything below 7, I would play right now. Oregon minus 6.5 at Washington State. My final college game, I'm going to go with Northwestern minus 7 against Miami of Ohio. I'm not a big trends guy. I think I said this in one of our shows earlier, but there is one situation that I do kind of like to target if it's right. And I love betting some of these football bowl subdivision teams coming off losses to football championship subdivision opponents. Northwestern last week lost to Southern Illinois by a touchdown. They didn't play well. I'm not defending them at all, but you know, you look a little bit into the box score, they had a minus 3 turnover margin, some just really costly turnovers at inopportune times that I think really contributed to that loss. I think if they played again tomorrow, I would still think Northwestern comfortably wins that game. So I think this is a little bit of an overreaction to that. Pat Fitzgerald usually has the Wildcats so ready to go. I think there's a big coaching edge in this matchup against Miami of Ohio's Chuck Martin. You know, from talent perspective, this might not be as big of a gap as you would think. Miami, Ohio has a good quarterback. And Gabbard, I think they're a good team, but Northwestern only laying 7. I think if they don't lose that FCS game last week, they're more like a 10-point favorite here, so I'll lay 7 with Northwestern. Getting to the NFL, we'll just go in chronological order here. The first one I'll go with, the New York Jets plus 5. They are hosting the Cincinnati Bengals, and I just don't get the Bengals' love. I feel like that they started 0-2. I was down on this team coming into the season. I bet them on under win totals, and it seems like everyone's now just waiting for them to break out. But, you know, I got news for you. They got issues there. Joe Burrow's taking too many sacks. I like Robert Saleh's defense to be able to continue that trend here, get some pressure on them. Maybe this is the week where the Bengals all put it together and it backfires, but I only made this game 3 in the NFL, having it at plus 5. That's a huge difference. I'm going to go with the Jets plus 5 and 2 primetime games to finish us off. Sunday Night Football, I believe I love the Denver Broncos plus 1.5 hosting the San Francisco 49ers. I guess somewhat similar to the Bengals, I don't really get the love for the 49ers now with Jimmy Garoppolo stepping in. I do think it's an improvement over Trey Lance, but everyone remembers how they almost reached the Super Bowl last year. What few people do remember is they barely made the playoffs. They had to have an overtime win in week 18 just to get into the playoffs. So this isn't like some juggernaut team. Denver has really not looked good the first 2 weeks, admittedly. Nathaniel Hackett's made some huge errors, and Russell Wilson hasn't really tapped into his, you know, what we know of him in the past yet. But I think they're both on the way there. Numerically, despite having two terrible performances, they're still like a top 10 team efficiency-wise by a number of metrics. I'm kind of surprised they're an underdog here. Denver, early in the year, is one of the biggest home field advantages in the year. So Denver plus 1.5 hosting San Francisco. I think the Broncos are going to start to put it together here, and I'll take the Broncos. And then an underdog on Monday Night Football. The Giants burned us last week, but I'm going right back against them this week because I don't think this team is that good. Brian Daboll right now is the leader in the clubhouse for Coach of the Year, and he should be, but I just see the inevitable decline coming at some point. I still think the Cowboys roster is really strong. They were kind of a mess. I was against them last week, but I think I was overlooking one key piece. Micah Parsons just has wreaked havoc in each of the first two games. I think he's going to be able to do that here too against the Giants. And it looked like Cooper Rush did just fine for another year filling in for Dak Prescott. I think Dallas is the better overall team here. I'm way down on the Giants. So I'm going to take Dallas +1.5, looking to bounce back from last week. We went 1-2 on the NFL. That brings the year record to 4-3 on the NFL. In college football, we're still 8-6-1 after an 0-2 last week. So it was disappointing what happened last week, but hopefully we get the favorites in college football and the underdogs in the NFL to come through this week. That's 6 plays for you, plus that bonus future, Washington 12-1 to win the Pac-12. Stick around to hear Kip's takes on the SEC next.
Listen to what callers are saying about the morning after.
But I just wanted to say thank you. You guys bring a lot of information. To me, your show is a lot different than most. I can't really pinpoint it. It's just maybe it's the friendliness. Maybe it's just the way that you guys come across. More like family to me. And I just love listening every Sunday when I get the opportunity.
The morning after, Sundays 9 to 11 a.m. on WJOX 94.5 Birmingham.
Hey everybody, Kip Kiefer ready to preview and make some selections on SEC football this week. Some good games on the schedule. We'll get to those in a minute. Just kind of a brief commentary. Once again, this week we see some real tasty hors d'oeuvres on the SEC schedule that do not exactly correlate into great entertainment on SEC gridirons every week. Bowling Green is on the schedule, Kent State. We've got Charlotte and Tulsa. I mean, I'm getting tired of these matchups, and I don't know if this is a fair time because it hasn't been enough time to make an assessment, but I'm starting to get the sneaking suspicion that the brave new landscape that we're seeing in college football is widening the disparity between the for lack of better terminology, haves and have-nots, because the transfer portal, which let's call it what it is, basically free agency and going to the highest bidder with the new NIL era of getting players on the payroll to participate at your schools, I think we're already seeing that some of these so-called cupcake matchups are even worse than ever. And don't throw Appalachian State beating Texas A&M at me, because that was not necessarily a have-not. Appalachian State has committed a lot of resources and has a history of being a very competent opponent. So that win by them, while stunning, doesn't kind of rate with a Ole Miss-Central Arkansas matchup or things of that nature. And I'll be the first to admit here, I've been seduced by big point spreads in a couple of instances where I was kicking myself halfway through the first quarter, realizing that although it made sense to come to those conclusions, the teams on the field just didn't have the capability of even playing remotely with the superior opponent that they were facing. So we're going to focus more on the good matchups this week in the SEC, and I'm optimistic, even though our record's subpar starting off, we're going to get a lot better because I've had the opportunity to really scrutinize and start to analyze these teams. I know what they have and what they don't have, and I think we're in for a good period here of upcoming success. Let's start in this week's look at one of the big games on a, quote, neutral field in Dallas, Jerry World, AT&T Stadium. It is Arkansas matching up with Texas A&M. We just talked about the Aggies and their big stumble against Appalachian State. They got it together for us last week and covered against Miami. Arkansas's a team, if you heard our very first broadcast this year, I had some serious doubts about this defense. And even though they're 3-0, I'm still a little bit shaky on the Hogs defenders. You look at this game, the better quarterback is KJ Jefferson for Arkansas. I think their offense overall is at a better point right now than Texas A&M's. But last year, Arkansas just dominated this game, and I just get the feeling that Texas A&M's had enough of that. I
My partner on the radio, Terry Quillian, will tell you that living in Dallas, that it's more of a home field advantage there for Arkansas than Texas. But Texas A&M, I should say. I'm going to put all that aside, and I'm going to take the Aggies minus the 2 points. I think they'll find a way to win this game against Arkansas, because I think at the end of the day, even though A&M's offense is not very good at this stage, they have a couple of explosive players, and I think the Hogs' defense is vulnerable. So let's take Texas A&M here as our first pick. Moving on, let's go to Ole Miss. They're playing a cupcake game. It's the only one I'm going to mention this week. Tulsa has had three games. They lost in double overtime at Wyoming. They beat Northern Illinois, who Vanderbilt dominated on the road last week, at home by just three, and they beat Jacksonville State. I don't think much of the Golden Hurricanes. Ole Miss did impress me last week, although they played an abysmal team in Georgia Tech. But the pieces that the Rebels have put together on defense make them a whole different kind of team, and their offense is still a work in progress. And you can bet your anything you want that Lane Kiffin is tweaking and working overtime on his offense. He was in quarterback's faces last week. He's very engaged. I like Ole Miss to take immediate care of the Golden Hurricanes as they play yet another weak sister opponent. Let's go to Rocky Top. I don't really want to go to Rocky Top, but we'll go there in theory, as Tennessee, who's lost 16 out of the last 17 to Florida, the streaks that Tennessee gets involved in, and Florida for that matter, are kind of amazing against opponents, and this is another one. Tennessee has just had a horrible time with what they call their big rival, Florida, and they seem to be holding all the cards this time. The Florida team kind of fooled all of us with a nice win over Utah on opening night, but they have shown a lot of blemishes in their last couple of games. Tennessee's a 10-point favorite. That seems a little extreme, but I keep looking at this game, and I was appalled last week that South Florida really pushed the Florida defense around when the game was on the line. Florida dodged the bullet and came out with the win, but the Tennessee offense is dynamic. The Florida defense is disappointingly not very physical like I thought they might be, and I don't think Tennessee's going to blow them out of the water, but I do think they're going to win by a couple touchdowns. So give me the Volunteers and I will surrender the 10. And speaking of being blown out of the water, good grief, Auburn last week was absolutely terrible against Penn State. They were so overmatched, outcoached, outplayed. It was just a sad thing to behold. Can they rally the encircle the wagons and get an SEC win this week when Missouri comes to town? Right now, I think it's hard to dispute the bottom four teams in the SEC are South Carolina, Auburn, Vanderbilt, and Missouri. And I put Missouri last for a reason. I think they're the worst team in the league, and I think it's a chance for the Tigers to bounce back. They're a 7-point favorite. And I'm talking about the Auburn Tigers. I like Auburn minus 7 against Missouri. Looking for a 4-for-4 week. I hope all of you have a great football weekend and cash everything that you invest in. And we can't wait to visit with you next week for a whole new slate of games. Have a great football weekend, everybody.